Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
All right. Well, good morning to all of you that are here. And so I just want to take a moment, a couple things. First off, I want to just say for you guys, hey, can we just do something for a moment? Marie, that was Marie's first time leading ever our church on a Sunday. She's in high school. And she's graduating this year. She's been leading our youth for a while. Great job, woman of God. You let God use you today. I'm proud of you. So awesome. That's what a family church does, man. Gives next generation opportunity to continue to move forward. Also, I want to look online for a second because I know a lot of people I have a strange feeling that our online viewership might be up a little bit today. All right. But there's a lot of people who don't just watch at the exact time. We actually have people who watch from Mexico City, people from Canada. Actually, I have a family that used to go here that they watch from Kuwait. And so it might feel like, okay, they're saying all these things. What's really going on? Well, earlier in the week, if you weren't a part of it, we're doing construction on a whole half of our parking lot that we normally have about 150 cars in, and it was just a muddy mess. And so it's one of those, while we're doing construction, paving everything, it just wasn't going to be available this weekend. So I put a video online, hey, please, would you carpool? Would you do this? Would you try not to come to 9:30 and 11:15? And so many of you carpooled this morning. Thank you. I heard so many of you tell me that this morning. And then it decided to look like it's midnight when you wake up this morning. It's been storming and storming and storming. And so it just kind of made for just a kind of crazy weekend. And so because of that, we're going to have the most chill 9:30, spacious 9:30 service in the history of the church. Look, you're sitting by who you want to sit by this morning. You're not sitting by some stranger. You're not sitting by somebody that you hope they put deodorant on. Come on, you know what I'm saying? And and as far as I know, guys in the back, Cedric and all that, am I fine on this or do I need a microphone whenever it gets kind of crazy? I just want to make sure so that I'm good there. So I'm fine. Y'all are just cranking me up back there and I'll be good. Let's just pray the lights don't go out. That would be the triple home run of the weekend. And if that happens, don't worry. The kids, there's plenty of windows for natural light to come through, and we'll figure it out. And I'll preach old school style, you know, back in the day, and just have you move forward if that's the case. So, hey, if you have your Bible, if you would open up to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Talking about the parking lot. Yes, Lord, I'm telling them all about it. So talking about the parking lot, I've been wanting to do this for a few weeks. And it hasn't quite worked out. I just wanted to kind of give you a where we are with parking lot. Now you'll hear updates. We have video updates on the construction that's going on, the timeline. We're still shooting for the middle of June to be able to have it completely paved. And we will double our parking, go from 219 to about 410 to 419. I'm excited about that. 419 parking spots. But I wanted to show you financially. I've mentioned this to some of you, but I want you to be able to see it for yourself. I have a graphic I want to show you on the screen that we signed the contract for $736,818. That's going to take care of all the parking lot stuff. We signed the contract for that. Last year in November, I asked you to pray about it and said, hey, y'all know, I don't have to convince you. We've got to get this parking situation figured out. And I asked you to pray and give, and you guys gave $751,682.17. Can you give it up? So it won't cost us a thing. Pastor, what are we going to do with the overage? We're putting it to the side for our new building at some point. Come on, some new property that's going to come at some point that we're going to need. So this will be a unique challenge for me today. You know, I'll tell you what's weird is, like, when I go back and watch online when it's days like this, nobody can hear any of that online. So people are like, what's going on? Why does he keep... Brother's just like, oh yeah, he's reacting to all this stuff that's going on. And so that's kind of my flow. I was a youth pastor for about 20 years. So when something crazy happened, I just kind of rolled with it kind of stuff and played along with the crowd. So we're in a series called An Estimated Time of Arrival. And really what we're talking about is when you're on a journey and you're looking up maps and you're looking at the estimated time of arrival, means you're not where you started and you're not where you're going. You're in the in-between. You're in the journey. And this time of year in particular, especially when you get towards the end of May and you start getting May and June, it's really just a natural time of transition for a lot of people. I mean, junior high students are going to senior high. Senior high students are graduating, going off to college. College students are graduating, starting their careers. Because of what's happening with kids, many people, for the first time, they're going to be empty nesters this year. They're sending off their first child to college that's going on. And even career-wise, what often happens is people, especially in our community, they are getting transferred or they're starting a new career. And so they kind of hang out and let the kids finish school, and now they're moving. We know families that are moving out of the country, that are moving different places or within the next few months. So it's this massive time of transition. This time of transition, I was like, well, what do I do during the transition? Transition, it's exciting, but it can be a little unsettling, right? It's exciting because of the future and what's possible and what's coming, but it's also a little bit like it's unsteady because I found a rhythm and now I'm out of that rhythm. Well, we're looking at a time in Scripture, actually a time that we observe and we celebrate as believers. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. Jesus rose from the grave. In 2 weeks from now, we're going to celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. Now, Jesus, when he rose from the grave, he hung around with his disciples for another 40 days before he ascended. And it was kind of like, okay, God, everything you do is purposeful. Everything Jesus does is purposeful. So why didn't you just rise from the grave, hang out a couple days so everybody sees you are who you are, and leave? But maybe there was more to be done. Maybe there was more that he needed to accomplish, that he needed to get into his disciples. And what did he do during the in-between? And so we're talking about the in-between, and I'm drilling down on the stories in Scripture between the time that Jesus, he was resurrected, till we get to Pentecost. And so we're going to dig down, and that's where we're going to go, to John chapter 21 in just a moment. Last week, I talked about just simply this: pass the test, get the power. That's what we talked about last week. We talked about for 40, the number 40 is the number of testing. That's when Jesus, he resurrected, then ascended. Then there was 10 days from that moment he ascended to the Pentecost Sunday, and the number 10 is the number of order. Then the number 50, when you put all that together, the actual in-between, it's Pentecost, which means it's his, when his power comes. And so when you pass the test, you get the power. Today, I want to drill into something. I believe that God wants to do some things. As I've been praying and getting prepared for this, I had a certain direction I wanted to go. But as I continued to prepare and pray, it's like it changed course about 3 or 4 times until I finally landed on what I feel like the Lord wants for us today. And this is what I truly believe, that God wants to restore some things. God wants to restore some things in people's lives. So let's jump into the story. So it's that in-between time. Here's Jesus. It's a famous story in the Christian world of Peter, one of the most outspoken, well, the most outspoken apostle. And here he was, his disciple at this time. And when he is restoring Peter back because of the downfall that he had before Jesus died on the cross. Let's just jump into it. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Then we're going to jump to verse 15 and go through 15 through 17. And then we'll break it down and walk through it. All right, starting at verse 1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. So here's another moment. He's appearing to his disciples during that time by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, well, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net to the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garments around him and jumped into the water. Now, let me go back for a second. Peter, if you don't know the story, Peter, he was the one, he was Jesus' man. I mean, hey, I'm your ride or die, Jesus. And he ended up denouncing Jesus three separate times. When he was asked, he said, "Wait, weren't you with Jesus?" Three separate times he denied Christ, and then he ran off. And we're reading the story after Jesus is resurrected, where Jesus is instituting and restoring him back into the call and ministry that he had for him. He realizes Jesus, swims to the shore. Jesus is there and he's cooking breakfast. Now we jump to verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Title of the message today, just simply this: I messed up, now what? I messed up, now what? This is the story we're really reading. This is Peter saying, "Man, I messed up big time." Now Jesus steps on the scene, now what? Will you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing. We thank you that we can come into the house of God and we can worship you, Lord Jesus, no matter what may be around us. Father, I'm so grateful for technology, that whatever's going on, people are, even right now, wherever they're at, Father, they're watching online and they're able to hear the word of God. Father, I pray that the same spirit, the same anointing, the same power that we feel in this place, God, it would go through every camera, every screen, and people would feel it where they are. Because God, I really believe there's people today that you're restoring something to them. You want to bring something back to them. Get them back to the place that you've called them to be. And so, Father, I pray you'd help me to share those words in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. All right, let's just be honest. All right, confession in the house of God. Have you ever messed up something so bad you thought, there's no recovering from this? Anybody other than me in the house of God, all right? All right, man, I messed this thing up. Like, this is messed up. I think of a lot of things when it happens, to be honest. Unfortunately, I think about a lot of things. But one in particular I think about is when I was a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor for about 20 years in the New Orleans area. Love being a youth pastor. It's just fun, a good time. And we'd always go to these youth camps. I'm a youth camp guy, man. I love youth camp. Went to youth camp all these years. And when I first became a youth pastor, we went to these youth camps in Lafayette. And we would go here. The senior pastor at this youth camp in Lafayette was Pastor Jacob Arantz. Phenomenal communicator. Going to try to have him come in next year. He was intense, bro. Now, y'all know intense people? That you're just intimidated when they walk in the door, you know? They're just strong and powerful, Pastor Jacob. And we were at his campground, and so we're there, and they have all of a sudden, the night of the last final night, you know, one of those powerful nights, they had these brand new, beautiful, just beautiful dorms, like four beautiful dorms. And he brought a couple in, and that couple had paid for all the dorms. He brought them up to honor them. He's like, "These guys paid for all the dorms. Let's pray a blessing over them. Let's get." And everybody's like, "Yeah, thank you. They're beautiful. It's so awesome. Thank you." Then we have a powerful service that night. I mean, the Holy Spirit just falls. We all crying. Come on, it's teenagers, you know. It's great. Love every minute of it. There is no worship like worship with a bunch of teenagers in a room. I'm telling you, it's powerful. And so we're having one of those moments going on. And then Pastor Jacob said something after the power of God moved, and he stopped. And he had that intimidating figure. You know, he goes, "Let me tell you something. Now, when you leave here, the devil's going to tempt you. Don't anybody do nothing stupid on the last night of camp. You do anything stupid on the last night of camp, it's going to quench the spirit. And everything that was accomplished tonight could be cut off because of you. So don't do nothing stupid. I mean, put it on there, lay it on thick. So we walk out, you know, I'm the youth pastor, right? I got all these hundreds of students with me, and we walk out. And as we walked out, it was actually just like this. It was raining like crazy, like this. And when I walked out, there was a massive puddle over here. And I just had this idea in my mind. I was like, what if we just run and slide in the puddle? Well, what were you thinking, Pastor? I wasn't. Come on, you know, you ever ask your student, what were you thinking? And they're like, they weren't thinking, all right? And so sure enough, so I just run. I look at a couple and say, hey, you want to run and slide in that puddle over there? Wow, just do it. So we run and we slide in the puddle. And when we do, this mud just piled up in my hands. And the guy that slid next to me, I looked at him and I just went. And I hit him in the face with the mud. And then he looked at me and he grabbed mud and he threw the mud at me. And y'all, I don't know what happened. But in about 15 seconds, there was 300 teenagers with a mud war going on at camp. And we were right by the dorms, and all four brand new dorms were covered in mud from people throwing mud all over the place trying to get to one another. And so the place is just covered in mud. Pastor Jacob is driving to leave the camp. I mean, it wasn't 10 minutes after the service. He's driving to leave, and all of a sudden I hear him go, stop! What are you doing? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about I love teenagers. I love that dude. But if they know that them being in trouble's on the line, they will sell you out. They're selling you out. I mean, as soon as he drove, I said, what are y'all doing? Like three of them said, Pastor Jason started it, started throwing things. Now he's mad. He's like, where's Pastor Jason? I walk up and I'm covered in mud. And I'm like, looking at him like, I'm so sorry. He goes, did you start this? I'm like, yes, but it wasn't supposed to be like this. And he said this. So he said, I'm going to call your pastor. You better hope you have a job. And he drove off. I was like, uh-oh. So I did what any responsible youth pastor would do. I found my phone and turned it off. That's what I did. I turned it off. I was just like, you know, I figured delay it as best as I could. So got up the next morning and I turned on the phone and I was like, and sure enough, ping. And there's the voicemail. And it's like, I'm like, I done messed this thing up big time. Now, I thought I messed it so much I was going to lose my job. Gratefully, I kept it. He just said, Jason, please don't tell me that you just ruined everything around there. And so I called him up and he goes, did you ruin everything? I didn't ruin everything. It just got muddy. And I just kind of messed the whole thing up. So, but hey, let's just be honest. We've all been in situations where we've messed things up. We've come face to face with just messing things up. But no matter how much you think you messed something up, I'm going to tell you what, you didn't mess it up like Peter did. Boy, you didn't mess it up like Peter did. Look, I slung some mud. Peter denied Jesus. Denied him three separate times. Not once, not twice, but three times. And although he messed it up pretty bad. Maybe you're here and you're even thinking to yourself, you're thinking, well, you know, I've messed things up pretty bad, PJ. Maybe you're even here and you're like, man, my marriage, I really messed it up. My career, I messed it up. Hey, maybe you're hearing, I'll just be honest, I've messed some things up with my attitude, with my pride, with whatever it may be. I think God gave us this story with Peter because no matter what you've done, it is not as bad as Peter, what he did, denying Jesus right there in his moment that he needed him most. So this story, though, is a reminder that we just read of this. No matter how much you messed up, Jesus is a restorer. It's what he does. Jesus is a restorer. So maybe you're here as we go through this in just a moment. Maybe you were on fire for Jesus at one point, loved it, and you just slowly started to fade. Hey, Jesus is here and he wants to restore that fire in you today. Or maybe you used to be really involved, man, and I was involved in my church and man, I really was moving into things and I've just kind of taken a step back. Jesus wants to restore that fire on the inside of you. Maybe you used to really, Matt, Pastor, I used to walk with Jesus all the time, you know, but you know, I was just emotional back then. And now, you know, I've ascended to a higher level intellectually. Hold on. What really probably has happened is some disappointment, some challenge. Maybe some things have come your way and it's thrown you off some. No, God wants to restore that childlike heart that just loves Jesus again. He wants to do that. no matter what you may have messed up, no matter what may have happened. Well, Pastor, I used to be really involved. I really thought I'd be called to ministry. I really thought I would do these things, but somebody did this and somebody did that. Hey, I understand somebody did some maybe something to you in your life, but he is a restorer. That's who he is. So I'm here to remind you. I'm here through this story to remind you that he is a restorer. I want to give you today three restoring reminders when we mess up. I just want to give you three reminders. And let me tell you what I like to do. I want to show you what Jesus does. Because always remember this. Jesus is the initiator. We are the responder. Scripture says this. We love him because he first loved us. Right? He is the initiator. Scripture actually says, no one comes to Christ unless the Spirit of God first draws them. So always remember, he's the initiator, we're the responder. So I want to remind you what God's doing so that you can respond and be restored this morning if you need that this morning. The first thing is this, three restoring reminders when we messed up. Number one, I love this, that Jesus meets us where we are. He meets us where we are. There's not this lie. So, well, I've messed up, Pastor, so I need to come back. Here's the good news. No matter how far you've gone, Jesus meets us there. That's what he does. See, when Peter messed up, guess what he did? He went back. For you that do not know, Jesus was a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman. Jesus went to him and said, come and follow me. And so he left being a fisherman, and now he's seeing miracles done. He's watching people be raised from the dead. That Jesus is who he said he is. All these things are going on. In the moment of disappointment where he messed up, he goes back to what he used to do. He goes back to fishing. And that is the temptation of every single person in here. When you mess up, when you make a big mistake, when you think you can't go any further, you have a temptation to go back. To go back to that alcohol, to go back to those substance abuses, to go back to those unhealthy ways of thinking, to go back to negativity and believing the worst about things and about people. When all those things come, we have a temptation. We see it all throughout Scripture to go back. And Peter went back. But here's the good news. Jesus went back there where he was because he meets us where we are. But here's the thing you got to know. When you go back, and maybe some of you have, what you going to go back to? What's there to go back to? Scripture actually says this. It says this in John 6, 66 and 68. Peter is in this moment and Jesus is rebuking many people that are following him. And it gets to this point where a lot of them left Jesus. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, where are we going to go? If we leave you, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. So Peter was going back, but there's nothing to go back to. See, I grew up in a little small town. I always say New Orleans because most people don't know where I really grew up was Folsom area. So I grew up in a Folsom area. It's Folsom, Covington, Mandeville, a suburb of New Orleans, okay? And back in the day when I grew up there, there was a McDonald's, there was a Taco Bell. Y'all want to talk about y'all's Tex-Mex? You know what my Tex-Mex was? Taco Bell. But I still love the Mexican pizza, just to be real, okay? And there was Shoney's. Come on, show of hands in here because I surely can't hear you right now. How many of y'all remember Shoney's? Anybody remember the restaurant Shoney's, all right? You were rich if you went to Shoney's where I went. I'm serious. I mean, I'm not joking. I'm not trying to be funny. That's where the bougie place was. You got dressed up when you went to Shoney's back in the day. You go get you some of that salad bar. Get you that little sponge cake with that fake whipped cream and that fake strawberries. Come on, show. You get that smothered steak, which is just a hamburger with some onions on it. Come on. I mean, that's what it was. You get you some Shoney's, man. I remember one time we went to Shoney's for Thanksgiving, and I thought we were rich. Man, Shoney's was the place to be, man. We loved us some Shoney's. Well, years later, gone, and my wife and I, we get married, and my wife tells me how much she loves Shoney's. And I remember, and she still loves Shoney's. She says she still loves Shoney's. And so, you know, a couple years into being married, we went on a vacation and we saw a Shoney's. And we're like, oh, let's go to the Shoney's. And y'all, we went to the Shoney's. And it was nasty, y'all. Hey, some of you that y'all have, boy, I remember this restaurant, it was good. You may not want to go back and eat there. Just your memories may be better than they actually were. And I remember eating the stuff. I'm like, this is terrible. This is awful. And let me tell you what you could think. You could think this, that the Shoney's changed. No, it didn't change. But since then, I've tasted better. Come on. Huh? You know, Steak 48, come on somebody in the house of God. Texas, taste of Texas. Come on somebody, you know what I'm talking about. How many of y'all feel the Holy Spirit in the house? Right? I mean, I've tasted better. But now, watch this. Once you've tasted better, how you gonna go back? How you gonna go back? Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh man, some things have happened. I'm gonna go back to what? To insecurity? To loneliness? To feeling the weight of sin? Is that what you wanna go back to? There's nothing to go back to. But here's the good news. No matter where you are, no matter what may happen, Jesus will meet you there. You go back to Shoney's and there'll be Jesus sitting right there in those sticky red seats saying, you sure you want to eat here? He doesn't wait for you to come down. No, he meets you there. Maybe you're in a mess right now. Maybe you're sitting here. Maybe you're watching online because you just couldn't bring yourself to come in here and it wasn't the weather. It was other things. And you're just like, I don't even know why I'm listening to this. Like, Jesus feels a million miles away from me. Oh no, that's what the devil wants you to think. He's right there. That's what he does. He meets us where we are. Amen? Amen. Two of y'all wanted to clap. All right, okay. It's a fake clap. It's a fake clap. Y'all didn't mean it. Everybody say, God meets me where I am. Okay, number two, here's the second thing. Second restoring reminder for you is, in the kingdom of God, failure, it's not final or fatal. You need to know that. It's not final and it's not failure. And it's not fatal in the kingdom of God. God is a restorer. It's what he does. It's who he is. It's why he came and paid a price for all of us. I had the privilege a couple months ago of sitting down with a great leadership guru, and he was sharing about mentoring, and he was talking about the questions to ask when you're trying to be mentored by someone. He had like these 10 questions to ask, and it was powerful. It was awesome. And one of the questions that he said, it's important to ask, I thought, what a good question. And I have since asked this of many people, was this. And here's the question he said to ask, how has failure shaped your life? Because it doesn't matter how successful you are. You know, you don't really learn a whole lot in the successes, but boy, you learn a whole lot in the failures. You learn a whole lot about yourself in the valley that you'll never learn about yourself on the mountaintop. Guess what? You learn a whole lot about people when we're in the valley. You wanna know who someone really is? It's not when it's all good. It's, boy, when you're walking through some stuff, when some things that are happening. But here's the good news. No matter, even if you've messed that up, it's not fatal and it's not final when Jesus is on the scene. John chapter 21, 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, watch this, a nuance that you could easily run past. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon, son of John, he could easily go past this. Now watch this, that there's only one other time that he said, Simon, son of John. Because see, Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter, is what he did. Actually, let me show you the scripture. This is the only other time he said, Simon, son of John. John chapter 1, verse 42, when he was actually changing that name, Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when it's translated is Peter. It's like, he said, it's kind of like when, remember as a kid, you'd get in trouble and if your parents called your name, Jason, then you're probably all right. But if they said, "Jason Chad Robinson," you're like, uh-oh, what happened? It's like, "Simon, son of John." Because, see, Simon meant reed. It's you're blown to and fro. Like, if culture goes this way, you go that way. If it goes this way, you go that way. I'm going to name you Peter. And from there on, he called him Simon Peter, or he called him Peter. All the way into this moment, which Peter means rock. Like, you're going to be solid. You're not going to be budged. You're not going to be moved. And you know, in that moment, Simon, when he went back, Peter went back and he met him and talked to him in that moment where he was seeing himself. Oh, you see yourself. Simon, son of John, let me help you. Do you love me? Let me bring you back. Because you're not Simon, son. You're Simon Peter. Because you feel like you failed, but you don't realize you're just getting started in the ministry. Watch what I'm going to do with you. Because here's the interesting thing. Peter had changed his decision. I'm gonna live for Jesus. No, I'm gonna go back and be this. He changed it. But this is one thing I love about the kingdom of God as well. You may have changed your decision, but God hasn't changed his mind about you. Y'all got that? You may have changed it. Well, you know, I'm just not going to do this anymore. Well, I'm not just going to put myself out there anymore. Well, maybe I'm not going to get involved anymore. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. And you may have changed your decision, but God has never changed his mind. No, I've anointed you for such a time as this. I've raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you. No, I still want to use your story. I still want to use your testimony. I still want to use your struggle, and I want to be glorified through that. I want to impact this world all around me. Watch what I'll do with your mess. That's what I do. So God does. Somewhere along the road, we've all had in our mind that when I get in the middle of the mess, I messed everything up and I did this to me. Jesus is nowhere to be found here. Are you? No. Everything in scripture shows that Jesus, the Son of God, he came to us. Aren't you glad that we serve a Savior? Not that didn't say, "Hey, come to me." He said, "I go to you." That's what he did. You wanna know the difference in every other religion? You wanna know what it is? You have to attain certain stuff to be able to experience nirvana or enlightenment. You're trying to get somewhere. Jesus goes, "I know you can't get there. You'll never get there. I'm coming to you." So no matter what you've walked through, no matter what you've done, and I know the stories all throughout our church, and I know people who've walked through some mess, and I know people walked through a lot of mess, and all of it in it. In the kingdom of God, failure, it's not final and it's not fatal. Amen? All right, last point. Look, it's nice and chill right now. Final one is this. As we close out our service, the three restoring reminders. God meets us where we are. That failure isn't fatal, it's not final. And the driving force of everything, whether you mess up or you find yourself in a pit right now, whether you're doing pretty well and you find yourself on the mountaintop. In this walk of walking with Jesus, Jesus was bringing Peter back in the midst of all the circumstances of what he was thinking. He reminded him of the driving force of all of it. And you know what it is? It's love. The driving force of walking with God is love. The driving force of walking out of all this stuff is love. I want to challenge us today with what may seem like the simplest part of this entire portion of scripture, but it carries the most weight and the most possibility to change everything. This part that I'm talking about, this driving force, it's the part that determines, watch this, whether you enjoy a relationship with God or endure the rules that you perceive God gives. Did y'all get that? It's a big difference. Do you know you can enjoy God? Come on, some of you didn't know that. Some of you thought when you came to church, you had to endure church. There's a scripture that says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of God." Some of you changed that scripture to, "I was sad when they said unto me, we got to go to church today." No, we want to be enjoy God, enjoy the relationship with God. I think been a couple months ago, a gentleman came up to me and I think they may have given you guys, our church, maybe one of the greatest compliments they could give. And they just said, Pastor, I just want to thank this church because they showed me that you can worship, you can live for God with joy. Like, you can actually have fun serving God. And actually, as you serve God and you see what he does, it's pretty cool, pretty fun, joyous. Yes. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He is life. He brings life. He's the personification. Not only does he give life, scripture says that he gives life, he gives it abundantly. It's like big time, like overflowing, full of life. So church should be fun. Learning should be fun. Walking it out should be a blast. Are there some challenges? Absolutely. But even in the challenge, you can go, I wonder what God's going to do with this. Because that's what he does. He restores. Now let me get a little personal for a second. Because he asked Peter over and over, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, hey, do you love me? Hey, then feed my sheep. 10 my lambs. Just take care of my people. I want to show y'all and get real personal for a second. Because this part right here, I almost preached a whole message just on this portion of scripture. This is so real and relevant to me. There's a scripture that I grappled with for years and I saw a certain way. And when God helped me see it a different way, it really changed everything for me. And I'm hoping that there'll be, as simple as it may sound, revelation for some of us today, online, whatever we're watching from. And it's in John chapter 14, verse 15. I'm gonna ask the team, leave it up there, very much for the remainder of the service. And it says this, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. Now to make it personal, I gotta give you a little history. I share many times about the church I kind of grew up in, and I'm really grateful for the church I grew up in. It's a little small country town church. I'm grateful. I learned how to hear God's voice there. I learned the Bible there. I learned the presence of God there. I learned so many things there. But I will say this, you're going to hell for everything. I mean, we had a deep, personal, intimate relationship with hell. We did. If you drank, hell. Smoked, hell. Cussed, hell. If you danced, oh, don't you dance. You're really going to hell. Premarital sex, absolutely going to hell. I mean, it was bad. It didn't matter what it was. Rated R movie? Oh, going to hell. I mean, they handed out hell like Oprah. You get to go to hell. You get to go to hell. You get to go to hell. We all get to go to hell. Ah, going to hell. Let me tell you what it inadvertently taught me. Okay? So I had a fear of God. And by the way, can I just say, if there's one thing I think we need a fresh dose of, is the fear of God. But I believe in the love of God. I just got finished talking about it a whole bunch. But hey, he's still God. He God. In other words, he calls the shots, right? Well, I don't like it. Okay. Right? He's God. We're not. But here's the thing. I think what it inadvertently started to teach me is this, is God was just not happy. He was mad and ticked off a lot. How could he not be? I know me. I know my mess ups. I know my inconsistencies. He had to be frustrated with me all the time. And this is how I read that scripture, was this. You say you love me? You don't keep any of my commandments, Jason. You hypocrite, you liar. You say you don't love me. You're lying to yourself and everybody else. You know why? Because you will not keep my commands, Jason. That's how I interpret it. And boy, as I begin to learn about God's love for me, like he's a good father. And watch what happens when the tone changed. It says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. It's not about keeping my commands. It's about really loving me. Because when you really, really, really love me, oh man, you'll run after it and you'll mess up. And guess who'll be there to help get you up? Me. Guess who will convict you and help you move forward? The Holy Spirit will. And guess what? And you get back to loving me again. Just love me. And you'll obey my commands. So this is what I want to end the service with a simple question is this. Question I had to ask myself. Which side of the comma are you living on? Which side of the comma do you live on? Do you live on the keep my commands? You dare say you love me. Or do you live on the, and if you love me, you'll submit to it, you'll walk in it, and it'll help you, it'll be great, you'll love it, if you love me.